which strengtheneth me. Now we're going to talk about God's supply and looking at verses 14 through 19. And so let's check that out. Philippians 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look into your word here. And Father, as we just look at these things that when we're obedient to you in the area of giving, and really whether that be our time, our talents, our finances, whatever it is, when we are obedient in that area, God, you bless, and we see you move and do things. And so, Lord, I just pray that your spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, help us to get a hold of this, and help us to understand the importance of it in our life. And we'll thank you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in verses 14 through 16, really Paul is continuing what he was talking about before, and I know Brother Bigham went through these verses as well. I'm thankful that he did. It's interesting, all the things he said, and he didn't even preach my message. There's so much that you can preach out of there, and so anyway, but he's talking about this church, and Paul's commending the church at Philippi for taking care of his need, and he even commends him to say that there were a lot of other people who had opportunity, but they didn't necessarily take it. He says, no one communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And really what that statement means is, when I was going through this certain time in that area of Macedonia, no one was giving to the ministry except for the church at Philippi. So they become an example to the other churches in the area, and of course today they're even an example to us by way of the word of God, in that we need to be a giving church. God blesses a giving church and uses a giving church, and I just want you to know it's much less about the money and the dollars as it is just the obedience. You know, the thing is, why is it hard for us to give? Have you ever thought about that? It's like, God, ask anything else, right? Ask anything else, and it's easy. It's hard to give because that money's hard to earn, isn't it? It's hard to earn. I mean, it's not only that, that money helps buy the things that we want and need, and so it's hard for us to do it. It's something that we could say it's a little bit painful at times to give. Well, why does God ask us to do that? Well, it's a measure of our obedience to him and our faith. We could call it a sacrifice. And this church was very much giving in a sacrificial way. Over in 2 Corinthians 8, if you want to turn there, you can. I actually just jotted it down in my notes so I can read it here. But 2 Corinthians 8 in verse number 1, Paul is commending the Philippian church. But I just want you to notice, he says to the church at Corinth, you need to learn how to do this too. Okay, it says, moreover, brethren, verse 1, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Now, so here's the thing he's telling to the church at Corinth there. He's saying, this church here, these churches of Macedonia, includes the Philippian church, have given out of their deep poverty. So they didn't have it to give. They weren't rich. They just gave because they saw the need. And we've already gone through that whole process the last couple weeks, where when there's a ministry need, God usually burdens someone's heart to want to meet the need. And then God will then supply that person, that individual, that group, what's needed to then give to the need. And so that's what's going on. They give to him, and he's commending them for being obedient. But then he says he's hoping that Titus, this other preacher, will instill the very same teaching in the church at Corinth. He goes on to say this, "Therefore, church at Corinth, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence," he's like, as you're abounding in faith, he's like, you're growing in the faith, you're growing in knowledge. In all these things you're growing, he says, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And he's talking about that grace of giving. He's saying, you, as you're growing in the Lord, you need to grow also in your giving. Let's don't leave that out of the equation. So tonight, real simple tonight, four results that happen when we give to the Lord. Okay, four things that happen when we give to the Lord. The first one I'm going to say is eternal fruit. Look at verse number 17. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And so a couple of things. As a preacher, preaching about giving is hard because you have this thing in your mind. You think, well, if I preach about giving, they think that when they put money in the offering that I'm putting that money in my pocket. I just, as a preacher, that's how you feel. And that's not how it works. The offering is for to fund the church. We'll talk about that in just a second, in the work of the ministry. And yes, the pastor is paid through those offerings. But I'll tell you this, 1 Timothy 3 gives the qualifications of a pastor. And one of the qualifications is not greedy of filthy lucre. And that ought to be the case. A pastor ought not to be in it for the money. You know, it's not like, I'm just telling you, if we went through hard times, and you couldn't pay me for a little while, I would just go work somewhere, because that doesn't necessarily mean that God's calling me away. Does that make sense? Now, it is a blessing, and I'm super, super blessed to be able to be here and have a salary, because that allows me more time to give to the ministry, and that's obviously a good thing, and it's a better thing, and if we can do that, it's the way to do it. But I'm just telling you that a good pastor, and I'm not calling myself a good pastor, that this is why I just, oh man, these messages. But a pastor ought not to be greedy of filthy lucre. If someone's just doing it for the money, that's just completely the wrong, that's just the wrong motivation. And so he's saying here, I'm not telling you to give, verse 17, because I desire a gift. You know, he's like, I'm not writing this letter to you about giving so that you'll send me your money and I'll have this great gift. He says, here is my true desire. Now, this is the problem. There's a lot of bad examples of preachers who were greedy of filthy lucre and did tell. I watched the guy the other night telling all these people to give and then talking about how rich he was and all this stuff. And I was like, man, this guy, this is crazy. People do this? I don't know why they would give to this guy. But anyway, that's the reason there's this trust problem. Do you understand? That's the reason there's this trust problem with, well, he's just preaching about giving again because he wants to fill up his pockets or whatever it is. But Paul's making it clear. Listen, Paul's living in jail here. You know, he's not desiring to be rich or having this idea of or being greedy of filthy lucre. He's desiring that fruit may abound to your account. One preacher said one of the great joys of giving to the local church is the eternal benefit that Paul alludes to here. Anyone who supports God's work will have fruit to their own account in heaven. And that's true. It's all throughout the scriptures. Jesus talks much about giving, and there's a lot in the Bible about giving, and there's definitely a reward that goes along with it, eternal fruit. And Paul, there's also, I'd say this, there's eternal fruit, but there's also blessings below that come from giving to the Lord. God blesses a giver. And so Paul is saying, I want you to experience this fruit that can be put on your account. Let me give you some verses. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He tells them always abound in the work of the Lord. That phrase there, it's not just talking about financial giving. It's talking about giving of yourself to the work of the Lord, making the work of the Lord your life, giving toward it, working in it, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Matthew 10 and verse 42 says, and whosoever shall give to drink one unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Matthew 19 and verse 29 says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 19, just giving you some examples of things that Jesus said. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, how do I do that? By giving. That's how you do that. Well, it's one of the ways. Where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That phrase, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we're talking about having eternal fruit. So if I give to the Lord, I give to the work of the Lord, the Bible says I'll have eternal reward. I'll have reward in heaven. If I give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, Jesus notes that. He remembers that. I find that, I really like that because I like the accounting factor of that. That Jesus, like, I'm not going to remember it all, but Jesus isn't forgetting any of it. He knows what we've given. He knows what we've sacrificed. He's adding all those things up, and there's reward in heaven. But not only that, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So if I'm, let me go back to my dumb days, okay? You may be looking at me and be like, you're still in them. Hey, maybe you're right. I don't know. But in high school, I got a car, and it wasn't even a fast car. But I got a car, and I just thought, man, I'm going to fix this car up. And every one of my paychecks pretty much just went right into that car in some way or another. And I fixed it up and had it all looking pretty sweet. And I mean, I did get my wife. Was I driving that when we started dating? Oh, okay. I can't credit the car then. Sorry. Thought maybe that's what did it. But anyway, I just invested in that money. And I'm telling you, because that's where my money was going, that's where my heart was. That's what I cared about. You know, I was that weirdo that's out there in the garage, you know, polishing the car. And it's like, I did it yesterday. But the garage has dust. And so there's a little bit of dust falling. I'm out there working on it all the time. I'm spending my time with it. I'm willing to work extra hours to save up what I was doing a mobile wash. You probably don't do that here, but in Texas, it's very common. I had a trailer with all the car washing equipment on it. You know, and I'd just drive around and wash cars. Well, I'd do a few extra cars if I needed to get parts or something. I was willing to work for it. My heart was there. Why was my heart there? Because that's where my treasure was. Well, guess what happens when I start giving to the local church? What happens when I give to missionaries? My heart goes with them, right? When I start giving to the local church, now my heart is in it. I'm invested in this thing. I got to see where it's going. I got to get more involved. And so the Lord teaches us this principle that as we give to the church, as we give to the Lord's work, as we give to missions, whatever the case is, our heart will be where our treasure is. And that's why you find these people that are ministry focused. Maybe they're not even called to the ministry, but they seem like ministry focused, or they're very concerned and have a great prayer life for missionaries. It's usually because their heart is where their treasure is going. And so again, eternal fruit. The second thing is this: when you give, and this is an easy one, ministry needs are met. Now, that's a good thing. Ministry needs are met. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So Paul's like, the need I had is met. I got what I need. Whenever I heard a preacher one time say that if everyone just obeyed and everyone gave their tithe and gave to missions, A church would never have any shortages, because that's God's plan. A church would never, you can understand, if that's what God said he wanted, how he wanted it to be funded, then if that's his plan, it's got to be a good plan. It's got to work. And so for whatever the ministry is, so if it's a large ministry in a large city, or a smaller ministry in a smaller city, or a, you know, sometimes there's a smaller ministry that costs a lot more money just because of where it is, whatever the case, God can supply the full need if everyone's just willing to be obedient and to give. And it may come as a shock to all of us, but church costs money. It's funny that you bring this up and it's like, yeah, it does. Whether it be utility bills, you know, I'm thankful that good men went before me and paid off this building. We don't have a mortgage. That really helps us to be able to do more ministry. But whether it be utilities or vehicles or buildings or printed materials, I mean, just this last week, I ordered a bunch of tracks that are going to go out. You know, those things aren't cheap. You know, they're expensive. And so all these things that we buy, bringing in, we're gonna have the Bryans in here this next week. Well, that meeting is going to cost money. Bringing people in, airplane tickets and hotels and all those things. And the whole thing is here's what we do with our money. We're investing it in the ministry. We're investing it in, because then we're going to be helped by the ministry of that meeting and hopefully taught and families changed and such. And so, again, as the giving comes in, it's invested into ministry needs and the needs are met. And so as the church follows the Lord, the Lord provides through the people, and He'll provide us what we need to meet the ministries He wants us to do, if that makes sense. We don't think about this anywhere else in life. Like, you wouldn't go to a restaurant later and sit down and eat and then just get up and leave. You wouldn't do that, would you? I mean, I hope you wouldn't. Goodness, if you are, we might need to talk. You wouldn't go to a football game and expect there not to be an entrance fee and that if you got a thing of popcorn or what, you wouldn't expect it all to be free. But for some reason, we come to the church. And by the way, it is free because it's grace giving. Okay. We don't charge, you know, we're not selling tickets. No one would buy them. You know, it's grace giving. So yes, I get that. I'm not trying to say, oh, we're charging, but I am telling you this, that we understand other things cost ministry or cost money. I looked at the word ministry when I was supposed to say money. We understand other things cost money. We don't even, I mean, sometimes we might mumble about it, but not anymore, right? After this morning. So we might gripe a little bit about cost of things, but we understand things cost money. But then we just kind of feel like, man, well, the church just kind of exists, like, without any help. It's not the case. And I know that you know that. I'm just being funny. I can imagine in Paul's day, there were financial needs and such. I don't know that. I don't know how it was. I imagine the financial needs today, especially in our country, and just all the different costs that are incurred for literally everything you do. I just imagine that there's even greater financial need today. But even in their day, Paul was encouraging the churches to give at church. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay him up in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So he's teaching that principle of giving in the churches to meet the ministry needs. So we have eternal fruit. Ministry needs are met. The third one, and I don't know, maybe the most important one, is God is pleased. Look at 18 again, verse 18. When we give, God is pleased. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you. Notice this, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, I want you to understand, it wasn't a bottle of cologne that they sent to Paul. You know, because it does say, he's like, I appreciate the gift. I got the gift, an odor of a sweet smell. And you're like, well, what'd they give him? Like, you know, is it a bottle of cologne? No, he's talking about the sacrifice that they just made smells sweet to God. That's what he's talking about. The sacrifice that they just made was an odor of sweet smell. They gave up something to give him something, and therefore the Lord was honored and pleased. We have many, many biblical examples of this. One is in Exodus 29:18, when God is giving them instruction about the tabernacle and the sacrifices. It says, and thou shalt burn the whole ram. This is Exodus 29:18. Thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. You say, man, that's costly. I mean, that's cost a whole ram. That's a lot of meat for a family, isn't it? I mean, that's how their income was measured. And so it's like, you're going to burn a whole ram. Man, that seems almost wasteful. You're just burning it on the altar. But it says this, it is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It's us. I'm willing to give up something to give him something. That is a display of love. It's a display of worship. And the Bible says it's a sweet smelling savor. Hebrews 13 verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, again, that word communicate is meaning to give, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so when we give, and I know it's not easy, by the way, I've said this, but we're, as a pastor, I'm commanded to give as well. I mean, I have to operate by the same rule book that you do. And by the way, you have to operate by the same rule book that I do. And so we're all commanded to give. And when we give, I know sometimes it hurts. I know it's like, man, I have to give up something to give him something. The Bible says that's a sacrifice with which God is well pleased. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And I think Brother Bigham brought up 2 Samuel 24, when David had the opportunity to get by with a free offering. You remember that? And so he was going to go and sacrifice because of he was sacrificing for a sin that he had committed, and he's appeasing the Lord for this sin. And so he goes up, he's going to make this sacrifice, and Arana, I think was his name, said, I'll give it to you. I got the place here. I've got the wood. I've got the animals. And what did David say? He said, I'm not giving God something that doesn't cost me something. That wouldn't be a real sacrifice. So God is pleased when we give. So that's the third thing. So eternal fruit, ministry needs met. God is pleased. Fourthly, tonight this, when we give, God will supply. Look at verse 19 again. The first word of verse 19 is but. It's a conjunction. It's a continuation of thought from the previous verses. So before we stitch it on our embroidered pillow at home, as Pastor Dusty says a lot, before we do that, let's make sure and connect it with the verses previous. What he is saying is this, when I understand there's needs and I'm willing and obedient and I say, I'm going to give to this need, God will supply. God will supply not only the need that I'm going to give, but he says, all your need. And that word need is not in the plural. So it's not like listing out all the things. It's your entire, your total need. That's what he'll supply. He'll supply that when we are obedient to give. I've dealt with people before who are really struggling financially, and they would say, you know, hey, Pastor, you know, I just have been praying that God would help me with this thing or this bill or that, whatever it is, and I don't want to get into too much. Now, this isn't since I've been here. You don't know anybody that I'm talking about, but, you know, don't do all that. I'm just saying I've dealt with many people that are like, man, I really struggle financially. And I know that they want me to say, well, I'll pray for that need and, you know, or whatever. But my first question is, are you giving? And they go, didn't you just hear me? I don't have anything. I said, because the thing is, God will bless you, take care of you, supply your need when you honor him. The Bible says, with the first fruits of thine increase, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given to you. Here's the great part. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So there's this principle in the scriptures. It's here in verse 19 that He's gone through a dozen or so verses that have to deal with giving, and he's like, when you do it, but my God, how am I going to do it? Oh, God will supply. God will supply your need according to his riches. And here's the great thing. We give according to our riches. We could say that. Now, I know it's all God's, okay? So we could say we're actually giving out of his riches because he's blessing us, but we give out of our pocketbook what we can give. But do you notice that verse says, I'll supply the need according to my riches. Who has more riches? God does. So when that verse says, the other verse I mentioned where it's pressed down, shaken together, running over, it's like God's going to bless you in such a way that he fills the cup. And then he's going to press it down and bless you some more. And then he's going to shake it together. It's like some of y'all with the trash at home. You don't want to take it out. So you just keep pressing it down, shaking it together, and filling it. And then you can get more in there and more in there. And that's what God does. He just continues. As we give with our little bit that we can give, God comes out of his riches that are endless, and he begins to bless us, pressed down, shaken together, and eventually running over. And so there's this principle, we give, then he gives. We give, then he gives. God wants to see obedience. God wants to see that we're living by faith. I keep saying I'm going to preach next week. I can't preach next week, family conference. But the next week, when we're in the book of Exodus, we're going to learn that those Israelites had to learn to live day by day in faith. Day by day in faith. Because he wants to see obedience. He wants to see that we're doing, he said that in Exodus 16, that he's doing this manna thing to prove them, to test them. Some of them weren't obedient. They just couldn't handle the instructions. I don't know. They just didn't do it. And so again, there's just a connection there that you need to know. Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 6, not to worry about the exact same things. And he worded it exactly like Exodus. It's hard not to connect the dots because he says, don't worry about what ye shall drink. You know what the Israelites said? What shall we drink? That's what they said. Go read it. Or what shall we eat? You know what they said today in our text? What shall we eat? He said, don't worry about what ye shall drink, what ye shall eat, or wherewithal shall ye put on. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so again, there's this promise in the scriptures that God will supply our need, but that promise is always connected with the admonition to give. I'll say this, I don't believe, and God blesses people in his way, and I when God blesses you financially, I'm proud for you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, with God just opening up the windows of heaven and blessing a family. I think it's good. I think it's even better when that family honors the Lord and is living for the Lord and uses that for him and all that. I'm all for it. So I don't mean to say this to make it sound like if you've got any money that you're sinful. It's not even biblical. But I don't know that God's interested in helping us lay up treasures on earth. Does that statement make sense? I don't know that he's interested in making sure I can just lay up a lot of treasure here. I think if he gives me, then he's probably got purpose in doing that. Let's do this. Let's go to Haggai. Y'all know where that is? Okay. Go back in the Old Testament, just before Matthew. Those little books there. You might have to sing the song of the Old Testament. It's right before Zechariah. So I want to give you a couple of things. I just came across this a couple of years back when I was reading. I noticed it, and it gets back to where we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Whenever Paul in verse 13 is saying, I can do all things through Christ, he's really speaking of contentment. Contentment. He's learned to be abased, right? He's learned to suffer need. He's learned to abound. He can do all things through Christ. It's this idea of contentment. It's interesting in what you're going to see in the book of Haggai. They weren't giving to God in Haggai 1. So they had stuff, but it didn't fulfill them. That's what you're going to see. They had drink, they had food, they had blanket. Their blanket didn't give them heat. Well, they made salary, but they put it in Haggai says, in a bag with holes. It's really just interesting. And what it's talking about is, let's just read it. Haggai 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, Haggai prophesied during the days of Ezra. I'll just tell you this. It was the time to build the temple. It was the time. And they were saying, we can't build it. We're not going to give toward the building of the temple. Basically, is what they're saying. We're not going to do that. The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye. I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lieth waste. Now pause for a sec. That hurts right there. You know what he's saying? You're going home to your sealed house. You got this really beautiful house you're going home to, and the Lord's house is lying waste. That's what he just told them. They're unwilling to give toward it. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. See that? I mean, they're planting a lot, but there ain't much harvest. Why is that? Well, they're unwilling to give. You see, there's the blessing that goes along with the obedience. If they don't have the obedience, then it doesn't really matter how much you sow. You're going to bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. I mean, I feel like that sometimes. But no, you have food, but you're never satisfied. There's no contentment there. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but none is warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. When we lay up treasures on earth, we're putting our wages in a bag of holes. Now, would you do that? Just if you had a bag with holes, is that where you keep your cash? I doubt it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build a house. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I mean, God's very clearly saying, I am not blessing you because you're unwilling to obey in this area of giving. That's what he's saying. Now, I'm not telling you, God's house is lying waste. It's the principle. If God's told us to give, and he said, I'll supply all your need if you do, then we shouldn't question when the earth is stayed from the dew and the heaven is stayed from their dew and the earth is stayed from her fruit. If we're not being obedient, well, we know why. We know why it's that way. We know why God isn't blessing. So we give to the Lord first. But the four things, God will supply. So when we give, God will supply. Let me see, that we have eternal fruit, ministry needs met, and God is well pleased. So, here's the long and the short of it. God's told us all we have a responsibility to give. He's very good to provide for us. If we're obedient in it, God shall supply the need. Lord, I thank you for your word and the truth that is in it. I pray that, Lord, it's just received in the way that you want. Your Holy Spirit has made clear to us. I just believe you have a way of doing that. And I pray that you would help us in this area of giving. And I'm thankful for Central Baptist Church for being good givers. And we haven't had any ministry shortages and lack of the supply here. And I'm grateful for that. I pray that we continue to see that moving forward and we'd be able to do more and more ministry here as a result. Lord, we do pray that you would, we know that you will, but Lord, I do pray that you would bless when your people are keeping and being obedient to the command, that you'd bless and bless their households. And Lord, just help us to be laying up treasure in heaven, Father, so that when we leave this life here that surely is short, we'll have something there waiting on us. And we'll thank you for it all, Lord. And I pray you dismiss us with your love this evening. Help us to have a great day. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.